Grey Cup Parade now rolling in Ottawa. TFC expecting a club record BMO sellout 36,000 for tomorrow's Game 2 with Montreal Impact on TSN. Now it's Leafs Lunch, TSN 1050, voice of Leafs Nation.
The home for the most comprehensive Leafs talk anywhere. This is Leafs Lunch with Andy Petrillo on TSN 4 and TSN 1050, the voice of Leafs Nation.
Welcome into Leafs Lunch on a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening on TSN 1050, streaming online, tsn.ca, on the Go app, and on TSN 4. Andy Petrillo alongside Patrick O'Sullivan, and we actually got him in studio, our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger. What happened? Did they catch you on an off day where they're like, hey, you want to come in studio? And you were like, yeah, sure. And then you realized, oh no, what did I just commit to?
Well, you know, today is a busy day. Well, I always say, what did I just commit to? But just to give you a clear indication of of how much I was looking forward to joining Leafs Lunch today. Yeah. I mean, I've color-coded my earbuds to along with my suit.
Pocket square.
Pocket square.
Look at you. You are looking pretty dapper today. You've got the full suit, the tie.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've only been here 2 months.
Yeah. Nice haircut, by the way.
Thank you.
You got a little buzzed up?
Yeah. My kids wanted to shave their head, and I had to kind of buy in to get get them to go with it. But I've been here 2 months or whatever. This is Darren's second time in here. And
so you're saying it's because of you?
The godfather, Bobby Mack, has not... Yeah.
Oh, now we're putting out the call.
And Bob is here. He's on site today for the World Junior.
Just saw him, and he hightailed it quickly. You said, "Hey, Bob," and he just hightailed it quickly.
Yeah, look, I mean, now that there's the Bobcast, I mean, come on. You can only spread Bob so thin here.
You know, but it's Leafs Lunch.
I know.
It's an awesome show. It's so awesome that the other radio hosts actually want to be a part of this show. Just earlier, on game day, this is how Matt Cause welcomed back from break.
Welcome back to Leafs Lunch.
Whoops. Where are you, Matt Cause?
A little early for the rum and eggnog, isn't it? I mean, we're not in that festive season yet, are we?
He is a wino. He's what we call the winos.
Him.
Yeah.
He is.
All right, so the Leafs in action tonight, taking on the Edmonton Oilers, pregame 8 p.m. with Jim Taddy and Mr. Patrick O'Sullivan right over here. Puck drop at 9 p.m. with Mr. Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph. So, of course, the last time these two teams met, it was a 3-2 victory for the Toronto Maple Leafs in overtime. And there was a lot of hype around it because it was supposed to be the McDavid-Matthews showdown. Bobby Orr was in town. Wayne Gretzky was in town. They were taking in morning skate. McDavid-Matthews. And it quickly turned into the McDavid-Kadri show. But in particular, more Kadri because he ended up scoring, a minute and a half in. 12 seconds into OT, Kadri gets the winner. And what we've been talking about here is McDavid wanting redemption. How do you think this game's going to shake down?
Well, based on the way that Connor McDavid has played his last, four or five games where he's averaging 2 points per, I think that he's primed and he's ready for the rematch. And, you know, all players, not just great players, and I think it's safe to put McDavid into that category already, you know, there's that internal competition. And when you're on a grand stage, which Air Canada Centre versus the Toronto Maple Leafs is, and you don't perform or you don't put up the points, you want another crack at it. You want another crack at it. But, you know, the way that the Edmonton Oilers have played, I think over the course of this season, is inconsistent. So McDavid as captain is well aware of what the coaching staff is trying to get the group to buy into. So I think that that's more of a concern for him is getting the team back on track. And it's not like they're in the skids here. You know, they lost Arizona. It's not the end of the world. I mean, that speaks to the parity of the National Hockey League. But more than the McDavid-Matthews, McDavid-Kadri show is Connor McDavid, you know, trying to get everyone else on board wearing an Oilers uniform to play as well as they can play.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's no elite player in the game that lets anyone get the best of them two times in a row. So, you know, being in the building for that game, that was the first time I'd ever watched McDavid live. And he was noticeably affected by what Kadri was doing. There's no way to hide from that fact.
Now, by the, you know, I remember one hit in the corner where Kadri just finished his check, mm-hmm. and it was maybe a whisker late. It was after a whistle, and McDavid turned and kind of smirked, right? Kind of chuckled back at him. That's like in a normal environment. Correct me if I'm wrong. You wouldn't even respond to that, would you?
No, that to me is a sign that it was bothering him. You know, the fake laughing, and you know, it was all night. Just the little extra stuff that we don't really see anymore in the NHL because there's not really set, you know, checking lines anymore. I mean, there's some teams that have them, but there's not a true shutdown guy in every team like there used to be. So, yeah, I think the interesting thing tonight will be how can everyone else play when McDavid's on the ice? Because McClellan's going to do his best to get him away from that. And can Austin Matthews' line play against mm-hmm. McDavid's line? Can the Bozak line play against? And more importantly, who else other than Riley and Zaitsev can play? Because
well, that was going to be my question, right? Because you don't. This is what we talk about when the Leafs are playing at home, and you know maybe why they've also been so successful is playing that matchup game because you have last change. But on the road, will you always be able to get Kadri out there? So does it become a bigger deal for your top defensive pair to shut down those guys? So is this where we're going to look at Morgan Riley, Nikita Zaitsev, and say this is where on the road? Because again, we know their record at home. We know what they can do at home. The big test here is this 3-game road trip. What can you do on the road? You only have one road win. That was against Buffalo. So is this also the biggest test for Riley and Zaitsev this road trip?
It's going to have to be, certainly tonight, because it's a lot easier to get your D pairing out there against a line that you want to match up with on the road than it is trying to get three forwards. Mm-hmm. Much easier to change the D on the fly off neutral zone faceoffs, even getting one out at a time. So Morgan Riley's going to have to be ready every other shift to go out because that's how that works. So, you know, and you can bet that McClellan wants to throw some shots back Babcock's way.
Yep. Sure.
After what they said, you know, after what Babcock said last game, and you know, that's all in good fun, but now
you played McDavid too much.
Yeah, well, and if that's the line that Babcock is able to get out more often than not tonight versus McDavid, we're talking Nazem Kadri, Soshnikov, and Leo Komarov. You know, it's not just about Nazem Kadri here. You know, and I think that Babcock's comment yesterday was very telling. He was quick to heap praise on Kadri for saying how well he's developed. You know, he's got tremendous upside, and he's proving that this year. What he needs to do is find that balance between how he plays at home versus how he plays on the road. And the detail work that he seems more comfortable with at Air Canada Centre has to start happening on the road. So maybe that starts tonight. But, you know, it was, you know, more or less a man-on-man battle between Kadri and McDavid when they met in Toronto. But you don't think that Soshnikov is going to do whatever he can tonight to get under the skin of Connor McDavid? 100%, because he likes the fact that he's a top six forward going into this hockey game, and Willie Nylander is there on the fourth line. I mean, that's a credit to his play.
We haven't even touched on that yet.
No, but I'm just saying, obviously Babcock likes what he sees. Mm-hmm. He loves this kid.
Yeah.
He loves the way Soshnikov plays. He loves the way Connor Brown plays. For the most part, he loves Hyman. You're talking about the work ethic of these players. So this isn't just about Nazem Kadri shutting down McDavid again. This is an opportunity for Soshnikov, an unproven NHL player, to prove that his coach is right.
I'm going to bring this topic up, and I feel like we can revisit it throughout the show. But I brought it up earlier today on The Breakfast Club when I was with Naylor and Landsberg, which I've been on that show a lot of times.
Yeah,
and
how come?
I have yet to get breakfast.
Really?
Yeah, no, still waiting for that.
Well,
and don't
I've
even
never
bring
been
up.
Given lunch here
I was
either.
Just
so
about to say, I set myself
you
up for that one.
Yeah.
Put it right on a tee. I deserve it. But I just kind of hinted to, and again, we're going to talk about this. The whole getting a defenseman, and obviously the Leafs on this road trip are going to be playing Calgary. We had Bobby Mack on yesterday, and he said, well, sure, Calgary will be answering calls when it comes to Dougie Hamilton. And sure, why wouldn't the Leafs be in on those phone calls? But who would you have to give up? I mean, it's nice to be able to say, oh, yeah, okay, here's Peter Holland and Frankie Corrado for Dougie Hamilton, but that's not how it's going to work.
No, you
have to give up value. And who right now on the team would be alluring? I mean, I brought up JVR, you know, even the beginning of the season, just because, you know, he has leadership qualities, been around for a long time, he can put up points. But now I'm wondering, when you have so many young guys in the system, granted they have not proven themselves at the NHL level, but you have offensive talent in Kapanen and Leipzig, and they're getting the job done down there. You know you're not going to touch Marner. You know you're not going to touch Matthews.
Right.
Does Nylander become that guy who has, what, 15 points in 20 games,
yeah.
right? You get this feeling he's not exactly Babcock's guy, but he's alluring to other teams.
Yeah.
Would he be a guy you could put in a trade?
Absolutely. And I'm not suggesting that the Leafs will trade him or talking about trading him. You're asking me, should he be a guy that is considered? 100% he should be. And, you know, look, when you go through the pain and suffering that the Maple Leafs have gone through, and they haven't gone through all of it yet, there's still more to come this season. I mean, that's just the reality of a developing team, and you need to be patient, and they are. Most of the heavy lifting is gone by the wayside. But, you know, as you go through this maturation of the organization, you also expose your weakness and your holes. And anybody who's watched the Maple Leafs defense can see they're not deep enough there. They're not. You know, there's too much emphasis and priority and you know, everything put on Riley and Zaitsev.
Yeah.
Jake Gardner?
I'm not sure that Morgan Riley is ever going to be that number one.
He may not be.
High-end two-way D. And he doesn't... It's not anything negative about him, but that just goes to show you, when you're relying on a guy who's not a true number one in the first place, and a guy in Zaitsev who's not a number two yet, he's also he's a second pairing D man on a good team. So now you have two guys who aren't really suited for the job they have, because it's all they have.
You know, to bring it into the land of the Leafs here and just fuel a world of speculation, would you trade Willie Nylander for Dougie Hamilton or part of a package? I mean, one for one, I don't know. I mean, that's up to Brad Treliving and Lou Lamoriello to figure out. I'd give it some thought. I guess the reason I would pause if I were Toronto is, as alluring as a 6'6", 200-plus-pound right shot defenseman might be, why would he be about to join his third team in a real short period of time?
That was going to be my next question. Boston loved him.
Yeah.
Something didn't work out there.
Right.
Rumor coming out was Dougie didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
So he gets traded to Calgary.
Yeah. Sometimes it's usage too, right? We just went through the Jacob Trouba saga with Winnipeg, and, you know, the agent kept talking about usage. And in the end, you know, the player caved, as he should have, and went back. In this case, they found the right fit, right? They found the right fit between Boston and Calgary. And Don Sweeney and the Boston Bruins took a lot of heat for that trade, because Dougie Hamilton, when he was first brought into that organization, was viewed, especially as quickly as he developed as an NHL D-man, as the heir apparent to replace Zdeno Chara.
Yeah.
And they still don't have the heir apparent now. And Chara is playing 22-plus minutes, very effective defenseman, but he's not going to be that for much longer. So to bring it full circle, you know, is Nylander enough? Well, on the nights where we've seen him perform, and there haven't been too many, Patrick, where he hasn't, if I'm Calgary, I'd be thinking long and hard. I'd be giving it some serious consideration, absolutely. But the one thing that I've heard that I can provide some inside info to, and in fairness, you know, these rumors have been percolating now for, what, the last couple of days anyway, maybe the weekend. You know, Calgary management insists there's nothing, zero. Those are the words that were thrown to me yesterday from Calgary. Nothing, zero, specific to any workings or dealings with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I trust that group. You know, they've never steered me wrong in the past. But I can tell you, a couple, 3 weeks ago, I did hear they were sniffing around the American League, checking out on Leipzig and, you know, maybe Kapanen and the players that you mentioned. Well, why? You know, you're not making an American League deal. You know, you're maybe thinking of a bigger package. So if it's Hamilton and something, you know, what's the go back? So, again, I'm sure Twitter will be buzzing here, because we've thrown Nylander, you know, onto the trade block. And we're not doing that. What we're saying is that, you know, when you've got the amassed skill set that the Toronto Maple Leafs seem to have, it's ridiculous to think that this group of young players is going to be lifelong Leafs.
Agreed.
They're just not, because of the needs that the Leafs have.
It's part of why you acquire all of the assets that they have and drafted the players they have. There's only so much skill that you can have on a team and have it work where the guys are getting the proper minutes in the right situations. Nylander is a guy who you know, as far as how Babcock looks at it, if you give a little bit of room to the coach to take and say, you need to do this better, we're going to put you on a, you know, lower down the lineup, he's going to take it.
Yeah.
He was agitated by the fact that he missed that game the other day. As a player, I look at it, well, if the guy, if he couldn't play, then he couldn't play. You can't punish a guy for that. But at the same time, if you miss a game because you're hurt, that doesn't mean you get to come back in the lineup and go right back where you were. There was another game played that you missed. Soshnikov went up in the lineup, had a great game. That's where I think he fits best moving forward long term. And at
Soshnikov,
the end of the day,
you mean? Yeah. Like on that line?
Yes, yes. Soshnikov there. And Nylander, of the assets you have, I mean, you're not touching Mitch Marner. You're not touching Austin Matthews.
No.
It's just stupid to even bring those guys up. So he's third out of that, that high-end skill young player group, and he does have value. I'm not personally, especially with how Dougie Hamilton has played the last 2 weeks, I'm not sure that they're super interested in it, in a trade themselves. But
a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and if the if it's a good deal and both teams like it, then it's everybody's tradable. We know that.
Well, we'll discuss this a little bit more, as well as the upcoming match tonight between the Leafs and Oilers, which you can listen to right here on TSN 1050. Don't go anywhere as you continue to listen and stream online and watch on TV, TSN 4. Welcome back to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050, streaming online and on TV, TSN 4. Andy Petrillo alongside our TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger and Patrick O'Sullivan. What are you giggling about?
Oh, Jeff O'Neill keeps hounding me.
What?
Yeah.
No, you're on our show now. They always get all you guys on overdrive. Yeah. You're in studio. I've seen Duffy in studio, Bobby
Mack. That's right before they go and work on TV, though.
Doesn't matter.
No, he just texted me before the break to say stop burping. And I'm not burping, clearly. We just talked about it during the break.
You're coughing.
Yeah, I've got some issues with sensitivity in this room. I don't know. They've got all
You're
kinds
so
of...
You're so sensitive.
Is there, I don't know. It's like there's arsenic in the walls or something.
No.
As soon as I come in here...
But I look at you.
It's not your perfume because you don't wear it.
I don't wear perfume.
Yeah.
I just naturally smell good.
Yeah. So now I've got a fisherman's friend in my mouth. So, I'm taking O-Dog's advice. I said, I'm not burping. I'm coughing.
But every time I look at you, if I'm speaking and you're looking at me...
I'm trying to clear my throat.
I can see your eyeballs are ready to pop out of your head because you're holding in your cough.
And I haven't figured out the cough switch here yet. So.
It's the one that
says
cough button.
The green one beside the orange one.
Yeah, I don't know. Does it work?
Yeah.
Hold on, let's try it.
Did anybody hear that? Nope. Didn't hear it. See? Amazing, this technology. So we were talking about Toronto Maple Leafs, just trade speculation, and of course the name Dougie Hamilton's been coming up because the Toronto Maple Leafs are taking on the Calgary Flames tomorrow. So in a back-to-back situation for the Leafs here, as they begin their three-game road trip tonight against the Edmonton Oilers. You can catch the game on TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. And we were just talking about William Nylander. Would he be a young guy other teams would be interested in? And I don't know, would the Leafs even be willing to give him up? I know a lot of people are saying yesterday at practice, don't read too much into it, it's practice for crying out loud.
Right.
William Nylander out on the fourth line. But Sully, as a former player, I don't know. Are messages sent during practice?
Absolutely, they are. I don't know that this is one where it's you need to do this so much better or you're going to be stuck on the fourth line all year. But if you look at how the lines shake out, I think Babcock really likes what we're going to see tonight. That's just the way it is. So you see other teams, they use a skill player on the fourth line, and he's going to play power play. But at the end of the day, in my mind, if this is something that Babcock wants to do moving forward, as far as trading Nylander goes, his value may be at its highest point. It's going to be all year. He just got Rookie of the Month. Fantastic start. Clearly, he's a top six forward, but it speaks to what the Leafs have is depth wise up front. That he's a guy that at this point is best suited to play on the fourth line based on what the coach wants. Now, I don't want, like Darren said it the first segment, like I'm gonna get a bunch of tweets saying I'm an idiot because I think Nylander should be traded. Like this isn't my opinion, but that if you're
looking, you could see it happening.
Yes, you could see it happening,
right.
And if you look at what. Like what another team is going to want to get the quality that the Leafs want in return?
Yeah.
Well, it's
that's
a player of that caliber that it's going to take.
Well, that's what I said. You're not going to say, oh, yeah, we'll take him, but here's Holland or Corrado, like your scratches, or here's Ben Smith. Like it's not going to happen.
See, I call this Babcockery.
Oh, okay.
Now,
Babcockery.
What that means is this is a veteran coach who's applying some trickery to a process as well. Okay? Mm-hmm. No different than Michel Therrien last week or 10 days ago when Max Pacioretty's on a line with Torrey Mitchell and Andrew Shaw, and there's uproar in the media of Montreal that Max Pacioretty is playing on the fourth line, and that's what he's going to be moving forward. He didn't play on the fourth line. He didn't play a shift on the fourth line. You know, yeah, he practiced that way. And later that night, when it came time to play the game, there he is with Plekanec and Brendan Gallagher. Three guys who were struggling, he reunited, and it actually worked out pretty well. I'm not saying that Nylander isn't going to play on the fourth line tonight. I don't know. I haven't talked to Babcock about this. I'd be really surprised if he played all night on the fourth line for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, guess what happens if you go a couple periods and you can't score and you're down 1-0? Guess where he's going? Right back to where he was at the beginning. And that's part of being a coach and trying to get the most out of what you have. You're trying to capitalize on what you had last game that worked so well, that beat a team that, let's be honest, is way better than the Edmonton Oilers are, despite the fact that they have the second best player in the world. So that's the way this league works. You don't get to reserve your spot for a day.
No.
Because you got rookie of the month and then you got an injury and you didn't play. And now all of a sudden you're going to go bounce back up and play with Matthews again. So,
well, maybe he didn't, you know, maybe there was a segment in a practice he didn't like.
Sure.
Being Babcock, right? And that's the trickery of a coach. You know?
But that's also being a rookie.
Yes.
Tough luck.
Absolutely.
Deal with it.
Absolutely.
These kids today. I'm not that old. I know
I
sound
to
like
say, you
that.
You just sounded like a grandpa.
Like, I don't want to sound like that guy because that guy's that person who talks like that is somebody who bothers me. But these kids, they're just constantly put in positions to succeed. They're barely challenged at all these days, and especially with the Leafs, they're all young up front. So it is what it is. If they're going to be a good team, those guys have to play well. But Babcock clearly has certain things he doesn't like about Nylander's game. Now, this is a little bit of a challenge for him. How is he going to respond to it?
Yeah, you want to make sure there's no sense of entitlement that creeps in when you're dealing with younger players, that's for sure. And Babcock is taking on, I feel, a bit of a different role as head coach here of the Leafs than he did with the Detroit Red Wings. You had a more of established team, established players. That's not to say you're not still teaching and coaching, obviously, but with the Leafs, I feel like there's more of a teacher mentality, more of I need to constantly explain and constantly reprimand or do something to keep you in line.
But that's why the message is often different when it's directed at one of the really young guys as opposed to Nazem Kadri. I for one think Kadri's been terrific this year.
Absolutely.
And I haven't always been a fan. And in the early days it was easy not to love the way he did his business off ice and on ice, but he deserves full credit. He gets credit, but there's always a backside to it, right? Again, yesterday, Babcock saying, love the way he's developing. Terrific. Tremendous. But
but that's the person. You got to know your personalities, and that's what I think Babcock's good at.
Yeah.
He knows
if he
feeds a little bit of negativity at Kadri, he finds out that was said, and he says, this guy serious? He still thinks a little bit like that. Well, I got to show him again, and I got to show him again, and I got to keep showing everybody because he wants to shut people up. That's what he likes to do. And I was the same way as a player. I responded when coaches challenged me more that way. Now, that's different than if Mitch Marner does something that the coach doesn't like, he's going to go about it a different way. And I think Nylander is kind of in that same. Nobody thinks Nylander's better. Or nobody thinks more highly of William Nylander than William Nylander, or maybe his father. So, but that's what good players have, and that's why sometimes it looks like he doesn't care out there, and that's an aspect of his game that helps him usually, and sometimes it doesn't. And tonight, if he starts down there, it's a chance for him to chip the puck out a couple times on the wall. Do some of the things that your coach wants you to do better, and then the next thing you know, you're back up there.
Can I add an interesting twist, or do we have to go to break or something funny?
No, this is all about you right now.
No, I'm not trying to sabotage your role here.
No, this is good. It's okay.
She'll let you know. Don't worry.
I get that.
Don't worry
about
it.
No, that's fine. Strong-willed woman. I can love it. the Maple Leafs, we know, we're really in the Jimmy Vesey sweepstakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In a big, big way. And we're deeply disappointed that he chose the New York Rangers. And the reason why is Babcock especially viewed Jimmy Vesey as the perfect complement to Auston Matthews. He did. So had Toronto landed Vesey,
I would think Nylander probably would have been gone by now.
Mm-hmm.
He probably would have. And because, again, now you've got an abundance of skill, which, you know, are assets. Use them as assets. Get better. You know, develop the team. And know this, Babcock wants to make the playoffs more than anybody. And the players in that room are right there beside him. They believe mm-hmm. that they're that close. They're that close. And you throw maybe some of the unexpected, you know, the work ethic and the contribution from Connor Brown. And Hyman to some degree, Soshnikov to some degree, those players, those compliment guys that give you the balance of the work ethic that has to go along with the skill side. So that's why, again, not to wrap up the Willie Nylander conversation, but that's why we're having it.
Yeah.
Right? That's why we're
There's
having
reasons.
It. It's because he's a usable asset.
Going back to Nazem Kadri, I know I brought this up yesterday and talked to Sully about it, but I'll ask you, Dreger, and I brought it up this morning on the Breakfast Club, and I was scared to use the word because we're so jaded in this city. But with Nazem Kadri, do you think, A, he's becoming a strong defensive forward, like legitimate yeah. where you're doing your scouting report on him when you're the opposite team, and B, dare I say Selke? I don't know. Just
no,
saying it.
Not there yet. Maybe one day. Not there yet. Look, you know, when you're talking about some of the best two-way centers in the game, you know, you're talking about some of the best two-way centers in the
game. It's true.
Anze Kopitar,
yeah.
Crosby, for me, fits into that category, and that's why I voted for him as my top candidate for the Conn Smythe during the Stanley Cup Final.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he scored 19 points and trailed Phil Kessel in that department, but because of how well he played, you know, all over the ice for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Let me just say real quick.
Yeah.
Those guys, there is no doubt at any point before any game
yeah.
that they're not going to be good defensively,
right.
first and foremost. And that is not there yet with Kadri. That's the thing. It's the
inconsistency, yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, and he's got to buy in, and it looks like he is. Like, let's mm-hmm. give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
But based on what I've seen, that game against the Oilers at Air Canada Center, you know, which is drawing our attention for obvious reasons tonight, was exemplary work by Nazem Kadri. You need to see that on a consistent basis before we're having the conversation that you want to bring up, you
mm-hmm.
know, in comparing him to some of the best in the game. He still has a tendency to cheat offensively, right? I mean, he's never been told or held accountable
mm-hmm.
for playing a defensive role up until his NHL
yeah.
days, right?
Right.
I mean, as a minor hockey player, junior hockey player,
never had to.
Here's the puck, go after it, get it, put it in the net. That's what we need and want you to do. And he did that. He did it mm-hmm. consistently and earned his place in the draft. But I think slowly but surely, Nazem Kadri is getting the message, and he's recognizing his opportunity. Maybe not to be among the greats. No, holy smokes, he's got a lot more to prove
yeah,
before we start talking that way.
I'm not talking Hall of Fame either,
right? He could be in that grouping of top centers in the National Hockey League. You know, I always used to say this about Tyler Bozak. You know, those who would say, well, Tyler Bozak isn't the number one center. Well, of course he is. He's Toronto's number one center. That doesn't mean he's as good as Anze Kopitar, but, you know,
you're right.
For the team that he plays for,
he gets the job done.
Their top center, or was their top
that's
center.
That's the same thing with what Kadri's doing
exactly
now.
Exactly right.
Put it this way, though. There's nobody, McDavid, even after what happened last game, there's no number one center in the league that is concerned to play against Kadri.
No.
He just hasn't done enough.
Not yet.
Nowhere near as solid in his own end where, you know, you play against Patrice Bergeron, and I have, and I did it. As a centerman, you better be ready. Like, you know you're going to have it tough every shift in their end, if you're lucky enough to even get it in their end when he's out there, because that his line has the puck so much, and that's what makes those guys so dangerous, is in the offensive zone, they don't give the puck up.
Right.
You know, they're not taking shots from bad angles. They're not taking shots from outside the blue line. Kadri does a lot of that stuff. So there's a lot more that he has to learn along the lines of ever being that type of player. But for this team, he does it better than anybody else, and that's a role he's had to embrace. Think about it. He could have gone the other direction with
oh,
this.
Oh, for sure.
He could have pouted about it. He could yep. have said, well, I'm not playing with any of these high-end young guys. Like, I just signed this deal. Why am I still here if they don't want to use me the right way? And it's not been that at all.
Wow.
So he's learning a new position in the best league in the world, and it's a hard one to learn.
Mm-hmm. And you know, historically, I've been critical of Kadri, not this season and not last season. But and look, negotiations are difficult. You know, as Mike Keenan always used to say, it's not what you're worth,
It's what you negotiate, right? And that always stuck with me because Calgary would go into these negotiations expecting the moon. You know, at one point, not this deal, the deal before, he wanted 6 years, $6 million per. Well, that's not even close to reality, but you got to ask for it. And, you know, then it comes back down to reality and away you go from there. You know, he could have sulked, especially in his hometown market. Yep. You know, he could have said, well, then get rid of me. If you don't value me, get rid of me. I'll go somewhere else and I'll prove to them and I'll prove to you. No, no, no. He put his big boy pants on and started listening to the feedback that he was getting, and he matured as a young man and as a hockey player. So he's deserving of the accolades and the attention positively that he's getting. Where will it take him? We don't know. That's up to him. But I see the potential of him being a very good center in the NHL.
We briefly mentioned Mike Babcock in that first game against the Edmonton Oilers afterwards. He kind of maybe throwing daggers a little bit when he made reference to the fact that perhaps McDavid played too much in that first period and wasn't as fresh as the game went on, and the Leafs took advantage of that. Do you think that's something Todd McClellan is remembering and maybe wants to
friendly
silence?
It's a friendly shot at a buddy.
Well, of course. I'm not and saying guess, like guess they're what? It went, really going to go at it, but, you know,
yeah,
you want to silence him.
If Edmonton wins tonight, I'm sure Todd, I'm not sure of it, but Todd could certainly say something in a similar vein to the media, and everybody will laugh it up, and that's...
Well, look at Bill Peters the other day. I mean, he was having a field day at Babcock's expense. Right? They're all buddies, you know? They've all worked together. You know, Peter's very close to Babcock. I assume Todd McClellan and Mike are still very close. I think it was an unnecessary comment given the time of day immediately after the game.
Yeah, it was strange.
Yeah, it was strange. And I don't think that McClellan would have appreciated the comment because, you know, in essence, you're questioning his coaching ability in doing that.
Well, that's exactly what that message
was. I mean, if you do it after a morning skate before the game or a day or two later, just clearly to poke fun at Todd, that's different. But I don't know that McClellan is going to do anything differently tonight. And I'm certain that Connor McDavid, you know, isn't going, I'm going to show Babcock that I deserve my ice time. There'll be none of that.
Leafs better be ready, though. Like,
Edmonton Oilers have lost two straight. They don't want to make it
three. Forget about the team. Who cares about the Edmonton Oilers? But Connor McDavid? I'm serious.
I think this one's going to be a clunker for the Leafs tonight.
Yeah?
I do.
It has a recipe for that to happen. And you got to know this guy. They're different than the 99% of other players, that even in the NHL. You have to be good to make it to the NHL. But if you're... the 1%, if you're Crosby, McDavid, Ovechkin, they do not like anything close to what he experienced when he was here in Toronto. So it's different. It's a different situation than if Arizona was in town. It is. He knows his hometown. It's on TSN. It's a big game.
It feels different simply because of what happened. The other game, and I know it's the third game of this road trip, is the Vancouver Canucks game.
Yeah.
Not to say, and then the Calgary Flames game, though, has meaning because the Leafs have yet to win on the second of back-to-back. I feel like symbolically there's a lot going on this road trip.
And did you read the comments the other night from Glenn Gullitson, the head coach of the Calgary Flames? I mean, I've known Gully since he was a Western Hockey League player for the Brandon Wheat Kings. We rode the bus together. I know this guy well. That's as deflated as I've heard a guy in a long, long, long time. I mean, he's at wit's end, trying to figure out how he can pull some level of consistency out of this team. So, not to bring up the Florida situation, and I'm not suggesting for a moment that Glenn Gullitson is in trouble, you know, from a coaching perspective, losing his job. But you lose to the Maple Leafs in the second of a back-to-back, and... you lay an egg in that game on home ice. Knowing that ownership the way we do, and the layer of senior management with Ken King and Brian Burke, that one has the markings of doing some damage internally.
That's why at this level, as a player, there's no easy night. Like, there's no easy game because there's always a little scenario surrounding that game. And if you're a team who's lost a bunch in a row and there's talk of your coach getting potentially fired, all that stuff plays into it. So that's why you can't ever go into a building and say, oh, this team is here in the standings, it's going to be easier than, you know, the team we played the night before because they're better.
More Leafs talk when we return here on Leafs Lunch. Don't go anywhere. You continue to listen on TSN 1050, streaming online and on TSN 4. They'll rescue you from your car lease. That is Lease Busters for your lease relief. Go to leasebusters.com. Welcome back to Leafs Lunch, streaming online on TSN 1050 and on TV, TSN 4, Andy Petrillo, alongside our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger, and Patrick O'Sullivan, Sully, who will be calling the game tonight between the Leafs and Edmonton Oilers right here on TSN 1050, pregame beginning at 8 p.m. with Mr. Jim Taddy. The game will also be on TSN 4. Talking stuff today. Lots of stuff about the Leafs.
That's what we do, eh?
We talk
nothing
stuff.
Beats stuff.
We know about the Garrett Sparks story that came out earlier this week. He got into a little tiff with someone on Facebook. Facebook? Yeah, it was Facebook, right?
Yeah,
Facebook
see, there, that right there, though, is a real positive exercise in the restraint that you have to show on social media.
As you look at one person in the room.
Hey, have I ever said anything?
But you're clever. No. Your comebacks on Twitter are actually witty.
The words you use.
Yes, it is all about the words you
use. You're really stupid. You're dumb. So, if you say anything that Sparks said, you're dumb.
Because
you
got to
understand who's going to read that and who's going to find out and everything else.
Well, and I will say this. I don't believe that Patrick O'Sullivan is sitting here today. In fact, I know he wouldn't be if not for how direct, knowledgeable, and opinionated he is on Twitter. So never stop that. Just keep it clean.
He doesn't pay people compliments, by the way.
Yeah,
so
well,
you take that and you run.
Nobody
with
knew
it.
Where I was. I was living in Florida.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, as somebody who I have no issue being, you know, like Darren just said, direct, or if you want to have a disagreement, I don't mind doing that on there. Because I think people enjoy it if it's somehow constructive, or
yeah,
at times
disagreement.
If I want to make a point to somebody that I don't, you know, if I don't like what they're saying, you can do it. You just have to choose your words properly.
Yeah, and respectful.
That's the error in the spark.
Yeah. So we know because of that he's been suspended indefinitely. And today the Toronto Marlies out on the ice, and he skated before the team, so he was not skating with the team, and Sheldon Keefe not making him available to the media. No surprises there.
Now, has he talked since?
No.
See, and I think that's a mistake, because I don't know Sparks at all, but I'm fairly certain that he would want to acknowledge and recognize that he made a mistake and be accountable for it.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up, because I remember, and there's been a lot of athletes where something happens and the first thing the team does usually say is like, don't speak, don't say anything. And I remember David Clarkson was devastated when that whole thing went down, and he, you know, left the bench and he got the 10-game suspension to start the season, and the team told him, don't speak. Like, you cannot speak until something was figured out or whatever press release they came out with, and then he could speak to the media. And people kept requesting him, and he felt like he was disrespecting fans because he wasn't allowed to speak to the media, which is the medium to the fans.
Right.
But that was the team that kind of put that restriction on him. So I know a lot of times players want to say something. I mean, whether it's prepared or not, they want to be able to face the music. And then sometimes maybe they're handcuffed not
to. This would be Lou. I mean, this would be Lou pulling
his face.
And
look, I mean, they're entitled to, you know, take the direction they want. I just, without knowing Sparks, I feel like if I were in that position, I made that mistake, I would appreciate being held accountable, but I would want to put it behind me. And the best way to do that is to apologize and say it's never going to happen again.
Yeah, I agree. So there you go.
Yep.
That's more stuff that we just talked about. I want to bring up not so much the Gerard Gallant situation that happened in Florida, because I think we've talked about that quite a bit, and I think we know the hockey community's feelings on it. People are just not too happy. But something I brought up yesterday is this the fork on the road when it comes to the analytics community versus the old guard? In that, are we going to keep our eye now on the Florida Panthers, because it is, they've been vocal and it's been out there that they are going hardcore analytics route. So are you looking to see how they do? If they succeed, it seems like this victory for the analytics community. If they don't, the old guard's going to go, huh, see? And I always say, I mean, you got to use both, but does seem to be a divide, and I don't understand why.
I don't get it specific to this situation in Florida, because, you know, for me, the most obvious example of where it's working, maybe not in standings or statistically, but where it's working with an old school veteran coach
And a new age general manager is obviously in Arizona with Dave Tippett and John Chayka. Now, Dave Tippett has a level of authority that Gerard Gallant did not have in Florida. But I can assure you that John Chayka isn't the general manager of the Arizona Coyotes unless a seasoned coach in Dave Tippett is buying in, at least in some way, to the analytics push. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you embrace the information and glean what makes sense to you and what is going to benefit the organization development of players? And then at the end of it, you know, use that input to help make a sound hockey decision. And, you know, again, we weren't in the coaches' offices of the Florida Panthers. We don't know that Turk Gerard Gallant, mm-hmm. you know, pushed back and said, that's nonsense. I'm not listening to that. Philosophically, they've acknowledged that there was a difference of opinion. And yes, of course, you've got a veteran coach who sees things the way he sees things. He was very much a veteran-friendly coach, more so. I know that the Gudbranson trade did not sit well. He loved Gudbranson. He loved him. Character guy, played hard, was good around the group, all of those things. You get a young, inexperienced player in McCann who's not ready to be an NHLer. Back in return, he's got to go to the American League. Well, how does that help the head coach and the 2016-17 mm-hmm. Florida Panthers? So in a roundabout way, I feel like, you know, analytics, of course, are important. They're huge in every sport, not just hockey. But I think there's far more evidence to suggest that it's being supported by NHL coaching staffs and those who are opposed.
Yeah, there's not a team in the league that doesn't look at that stuff. And guess what? They've been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah.
Dave Tippett in Phoenix when I was there 5 years ago.
Yeah.
He had the most detailed game-by-game breakdown for each player and as a team. You know, so it's not surprising the least that a guy like Tippett would be interested in that. Here's my philosophy on it. If you look past the idiocy that goes on Twitter, and if you look at what the numbers actually provide and look at it as information, that it's a piece of the puzzle. It's not the puzzle. It's not the box the puzzle comes in. If you separate the people who think like that, and none of those people are involved in the NHL anyways, okay, you may have some people that write about it or whatever, that they have a presence on Twitter, and there's people who don't understand analytics and they're put off by it, but they're also put off by the people and you know, the personalities that those people have. So I don't think it's as big of a deal in reality as it is in the media, or the way the media can make it sound, or on Twitter. Florida Panthers are going to be judged on what they do moving forward.
Yeah,
like you said, Andy, it's well known that they're all in with this stuff, and they're going to be judged on that. Just like anybody else would be judged on whatever else they went all in with. Mm-hmm. Whether it was, we're going size. We want size at every position. If that's what you want to do, and you put all your chips in, and you're going to go with it, and you got people in your organization that have no experience with the NHL, but they believe there's a better way or a different way, they have every right to do that, and they're going to be judged based on that. And it doesn't mean that analytics, if they fail, it doesn't mean that analytics are useless. They're not. Mm-hmm. It's just, it take what you get from it, yeah. And it's one more thing that helps you make a decision. That's all it is. It's not changing the game.
No. The league is never going to stop being a copycat league. It isn't. You know, you go back to 2007, the Anaheim Ducks win the Stanley Cup, soundly beat the Ottawa Senators. They had Robbie Niedermeyer, Travis Moen, and Sammy Paulson as their shutdown line.
Hey, Travis Moen, didn't
I had to play against those guys.
Right?
Well, all of a sudden, everybody around the National Hockey League is scurrying to find these sound defensive third-line guys, because that's how you win a Stanley Cup, is by developing a shutdown line. So, to Patrick's point, you know, speed seems to be the leading factor. I don't know that that's ever changed in the game. Skill has always been there. The heavier player theory, that's always been there. Who wins the Stanley Cup next is going to have more of an impact on how teams move forward than the analytics. A funny story about Joel Quenneville. Mm-hmm. Now, won 3 Stanley Cups. He's done okay for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Not bad.
I don't know that he still does this, but when the Blackhawks brought in some analytics people a few years back, I mean, their job is exactly as we've portrayed. It's to get the information in the hands of the coaches, let them digest, dissect, do whatever they need to do, and discard whatever you mm-hmm. don't want.
I was told that there was a point where the stack of papers on Quenville's desk was like a foot high. Unopened envelopes, the big brown envelopes, he never bothered to open them. He's like, "Dah." Now, I don't know that he still pushes back, but I kind of get it. Like, Joel Quenville has done some good things
whatever
with an unbelievable
done,
roster.
Worked.
So why try and fix something that isn't broken?
Yeah, I think it depends on who's on your roster.
Yeah,
like Florida
sure
Panthers are just not that good. Okay, and you had a coach last year that got a lot out of the team, and this year hasn't been able to do it due to injuries and whatever else. But this, I think it's interesting now to watch Florida moving forward, and it's not just this year, it's the coming years, where everything they do now is going to be based purely on what the analytics say. So one way or another, we're all going to have an example now of what it looks like when you do it, when you go that route. So if nothing else, it's going to be interesting.
You mentioned Travis Moe, and he did. He announced his retirement today.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Happy retire.
Good man.
747 NHL games.
Well, it's funny, really you mentioned Anaheim, that cup. So the next year I come back, and Mark Crawford's my coach, and he says, "Well, did you watch Anaheim play in the playoffs?" I said, "Yeah, of course I did." He said, "Well, now you got to play harder because that's the way the NHL is going."
Yeah,
see? I'm 5'10", 180 pounds. Like, I'm not playing like Travis Moen ever. I'm never going to play that way. But that's the way the league works.
Yeah.
It's whatever works. Now, everybody watches Pittsburgh play. Oh, everyone's going to have a top nine. Well, no, you're not, because you don't have anywhere near the amount of good players it would take to have a team like that. And if you look this year, their third line center, who was so good in the playoffs, Bonino, nowhere near the same player. Yeah. He can't produce at that clip for 80 games. Doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. So it's a flavor of the week until you figure out what you actually have on your team, and then you start to go back to what worked before.
Are you still a little concerned with the Leafs in the third period? As we just quickly get another comment in here before the show's done. Against Washington, it was a win. They held on, but Capitals pressed, and if it wasn't for Matthews getting the early goal, you know, and Kadri working hard, I mean, they allowed two goals again in the third. Is there just still some concern about being able to hold off opponents in the final 20?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that's an organizational concern. And, you know, it's easy from a coaching perspective to point the fingers at a lack of execution on the ice. But, you know, how many games is that where they've given up two or more?
I got the numbers.
You know, it's seven games.
Let's go analytics, boy. No, I'm kidding.
No, seriously. I mean,
no, the numbers are, they have three third period leads that were blown of three goals or more. They have five total third period leads blown.
Yeah.
And you end up leaving 6 points on the table because some of those went into overtime, right?
Yeah,
but that's what you're looking at. So six points gets from here, they would be they would be in third in their division.
So, again, but it's lack of execution. Obviously, the players are making the mistake, but maybe the coaches have to take a little bit of responsibility or say, well, what we're doing or teaching or asking structurally isn't working.
And I think it's personnel.
Yeah.
On Jack the back end, there's just some guys, the guys that are on, they're going to make a difference on this team when they're in the playoffs every year, they're not here yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be an interesting game tonight. You called it you think it could be?
I think it could be a clunker.
A clunker.
I mean, Freddie Anderson, I assume he's starting. I think he's going to have to be lights out, which he's capable of being. But this one reeks a little bit. And by the way, Jack Eichel's playing tonight.
Yeah, heard Jack Eichel back in the lineup for the
against
Buffalo
Ottawa.
Sabres.
Great.
Great for hockey.
That was gross. Remember that was opening day. We're all in Ottawa.
Scream.
Couldn't stop watching
it. Yeah, the video was terrible.
That's me in those videos. I just can't stop watching them. Ugh. But yet, I'll go back and watch it.
Please stop.
I know.
Take the dog for a walk. Do something.
I'm sorry. Go build your ice rink.
I will.
I asked for a picture of you and those little hip waiters, and you show me a
They're
picture of your
chest
kid
waiters,
doing the work.
Thanks for asking.
The higher up they can go, Steve Urkel.
And they're a little snug.
Yeah. Oh,
so
no.
My 15-year-old fits them better than I do. You do not. It's like a sausage. That's what I look like in the hip waiters.
Stop sausage.
And we're going to end before we get a little punch drunk here. So Leafs and Oilers tonight. You can listen to the game here on TSN 1050. It's also on TSN 4. That's it for us. That's Patrick O'Sullivan. That is Darren Dreger. I'm Annie Petrillo. TSN Today coming up with Scott MacArthur is next.